Blog Talk Radio.
Challenges and changes like blows from a blacksmith's hammer bent and chiseled into shape. Only forging a poet were that easy. So, welcome to Double Helix, where we examine the X's and Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. So get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is the poetry that we are made of. My name is Dan Deschino. And Afaziana is not here today. She's very sorry. She wished she could be here, but she is away. But I have the lovely and talented Pam Ray as my co-host tonight. Pam, are you out there?
I am. Hello, Dan. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. I'm so glad that you could join. We miss Afaziana, but I love you to pieces. You know that, so I'm so glad that you're here. And a very exciting show tonight. So the last show, we had a show dedicated to an American singer-songwriter. She's a composer and multi-instrumentalist who lives in Maryland. Her name is Ainsley McGray. And she released her first mainstream album in 2018 called Dream Again. We just heard the title track from that. And it earned her a nominee spot in the Maryland Music Awards for Best New Artist, which is really amazing. So we dedicated the show to poetry inspired by her music and her lyrics. We had a bunch of carryovers. So we're going to do that tonight along with another contest that I have. And I'm very excited to say that Ainsley has come back to finish the show with us. Ainsley, are you there?
Yes, I am. And I'm really excited about tonight. Thanks so
Absolutely.
Much for having
Thank
me
on. Yeah, no, it's our pleasure. I mean, Ainsley, you're a member of All Poetry now, and you're part of the Late Night Poets group. So come join any shows. Be part of our community anytime. We're very excited to have you. And you know, tell us what's going on. I know that you've been recording again, and you're starting to do your website. Correct? What's going on with you musically? What are you working on?
So I have a lot of things kind of happening at the same time, and it's taken a while. But you know, sometimes it always. Actually, I think most of the time, a lot of things take a lot longer than we think they will. But I'm working on new music. I'm writing actually an acoustic piano book right now as well. But I've got a couple new singles coming out and a new plan forward. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm just really excited to be here tonight. A lot of the poems I read, and I spent a lot of today and yesterday just like going over the poems again and again. There were some of them that were just they're really mind blowing. So I'm excited and honored to be here.
There's some amazing poets on this. I'm never not amazed when I do these shows or when I read the poems. There's some really really real talent here. That's great. I can't wait for your singles because I am a fan at heart. That's how I discovered your music. Just kind of listening and I was blown away by your album. So. Before we get started on the poem, I'm just going to geek out on you a little bit, a little fanboy here. I do have a question for you in your music. So we've talked to you about your piano playing, but your vocals, honestly, are just out of control. Like, you can sing like nobody's business. And I know you're classically trained in the piano, but how'd you learn to sing? Where did your vocals come from?
I sang with my sister growing up, and I learned how to harmonize with her. And I can't say enough about families singing together because I feel like you learn so much about, you don't realize you are, but if you're harmonizing with a sibling, you know, you're learning all about arranging music writing harmonies. So really, I kind of owe it to my sister in a lot of ways. She is an amazing talent. She's a singer and a pianist and a writer. But she was super creative and, yeah, I sang backup for her and just learned a lot
doing that.
And yeah.
that's amazing. Do you want to plug her? Does she have anything out?
So she does. She writes a lot of different types of things, and she might even be listening tonight. But she's a musician actually in Massachusetts, close to you. I think we talked about her a little bit. She's playing with a tribute band right now, like a Grateful Dead tribute band, and I will have to find the name of them, but she'll probably text it to me tonight, and I can just plug them because I know that they are performing right now, and I think her husband, too, he's a drummer. He performs with them as well. But, yeah,
oh, cool. Well,
she's definitely
well,
active.
I'm in the Boston. That's awesome. Well, I'm in the Boston area. You'll definitely let me know and send it to me. I'd love to see it, and, you know, I'm a drummer, too, so I'd love to go see them. That sounds awesome.
I think you would love it.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. I love the Dead. You know, I'm from that I was born in the 60s, grew up in the 70s and 80s, so I'm all about that kind of music, let me tell you. So that sounds awesome. All right, cool. Let's get started here tonight. We got a lot of great poets to get through. And I posted the first one up. So actually, let me introduce the quote. So the next prompts that we had was based on the title track of your album, Dream Again, that we just heard for the opening song. And then a quote from that as well, too, which is, "Here I stand, I'm at the end. Will I dream again?" Which is an amazing quote. Before we get into the poems, anything you want to say about the song or the quote, Ainsley?
It's pretty self-explanatory, probably. Yeah, maybe not.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. It is definitely self-explanatory, but it's an amazing quote. I mean, it really fits in perfect, I think, especially with our show. So we had a good turnout for the songs here. And let's get going. So I posted the first one, which is by Jenny the Deep. And Pam, do you want to give that a read?
Sure, I would be happy to. A Cow's Heart, adapted by Jenny the Deep. Cow's hearts can save a life, creating happiness, all thanks to their great sacrifice. A heart is a heart as long as it beats. Some sacrifices are blessings, adapting to changes, still thankful for cow's hearts. Amazed of this idea, impossible, some say, but behold, living proof she is. Damaged hearts can be replaced. Just ask her. 3 cheers for 3 years adapting. Now sweet can keep penning, keeping us all amazed. Give up? No, not Sweet Pea. She has more life to live and way more memories to make. Won't let anything get in her way now, not even a heart of a cow. Able to live her dreams, never will she give up. End poem.
Excellent read, Pam. And I like Jenny the Deep. What I've really enjoyed about her is the way she's been evolving. I remember the first poems that I read of hers when she kind of first came on the website, and she's been kind of really changing, and she experiments a lot with poetry and with words, and I really enjoy that. I don't know this. Can we actually – do they take cow hearts or cow heart parts and put them into people? Is that what she's talking about? I don't know if she's actually talking about a real – thing? Is that
yes,
true? I don't know.
Well,
what's
kind
that?
Of. Here's the thing is, okay, so when valves need to be replaced, there's two different types of material people can use. They can use the man-made stuff, or they can use, you know, biological material. And the biological material oftentimes comes from cows, but it's not exactly the cow valve, because cow valve hearts are too big for human hearts. But what they do is they take the tissue that surrounds the heart, the casing that surrounds the cow's heart, and they form it into the vent or whatever, you know, you call it. They form it into that part.
The ventricle? Wow,
and
that's amazing. I didn't know
ventricle.
That.
Yes, I just read – I read this poem earlier, and I was curious myself. And so that was what I was reading about today. Very fascinating stuff.
Wow. All right. I asked the right person. You're glad you're on here, because I really had no idea. So that's amazing. And I mean, you know, it is, I really like how she's, you know, I don't want to say personifying, but, you know, animals giving up their lives, right? I don't know if you guys know who Tara Strong is. She's a very, very famous voiceover artist. And I got to talk to her at a Comic-Con a little while back. And I didn't talk to her about a voiceover. She's actually a huge activist. I follow her on Instagram. I employ everybody to do the same thing. She's very nice. And she's really into, you know, animal rights. And she was talking a lot about just milk production and what some of these cows kind of go through, even for that. And it's very, it's very scary. So that's what made me think of that, is just how much animals give up their lives for us just to eat, you know. But the way that she's talking about it here, and just how it's almost like a blend, the human and the cow, the way she's talking about the words, which it really is, right? Because you have a piece of that animal inside of you now, if that's what she's talking about there. So I think that's really amazing. And then she's talking about this, I think, relates to the song a lot, right? Because it's about, you know, going through the end, and can you dream again? And this person obviously had a serious, you know, cardiac issue, and now won't let anything get in her way, not even the heart of a cow, able to live her dreams. She will never give up. So very inspiring, Jenny. I thought it was really cool, and I like the composition. I like the way you form the words. Almost looks like kind of a little bit of a heart there. So I thought that was neat. Pretty cool. Thanks, Jenny. Ainsley, let's get right to you. What do you think?
I thought that this was, like, extremely encouraging. And I thought it was interesting. I don't think I would necessarily know exactly how to explain. I was just thinking that, you know, and this goes into, I think, later on tonight when we're talking about past and everybody sort of being interrelated. It's amazing that we're at a point where animals can help save human life, you know, and that science can do so much. And it's just, it's an interesting time. And it's almost like there isn't ever one thing that can't be discredited as being extremely important. So I think when I read this, I wasn't thinking so much about, yeah, I guess ultimately it is about dreaming again, because it's like everything in life has something to give something else, you know, that could keep it going. So maybe that's more along the lines of what I was thinking when I read this, but I did think it was really encouraging. And it's just sort of hitting on that concept of, like, how we're all interrelated and sort of, I guess, need each other and then at the same time need our dreams. Like, and a lot of times they end up intersecting. So I know there's, like, some,
yeah.
We're going to get into some poems that talk about kind of, like, well, there's a spider later on and, you know, how a lot of times we end up just needing things that we, or maybe having something help us that we don't anticipate happening. So yeah, I thought it was, to me, it was interesting and encouraging.
Excellent. Thanks, Ainsley. And I dropped there for a second. I had no idea what happened. I pushed the mute button and my whole phone exploded, but I'm back. So thank you, Pam, for letting me back in. And Pam, you got to read it. Did a great job. What do you think?
Oh, I liked this one. I really like what Ainsley had to say about us each. We're all interconnected, and about the idea of how far we really have come in medical advancement, and just imagining how farther we can go, you know. And I like that this is a rite that is both informative and yet it's filled with a depth of emotion, with it being dedicated to a friend of hers and her friend's struggles and the saving of her friend's life so that she can have more years. And what a just absolutely fascinating concept, you know, of being able to save and extend a human life through the use of the physical material taken from a cow's heart. I do like the choice of the rictometer style because, as you were mentioning earlier, Dan, it kind of looks like a heart shape. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
What's that called, rictometer style? I'm learning. You're teaching me all
yep,
kinds of
rictometer.
Stuff.
Yep, it's actually
right, wow.
A specific word count or syllable count, a specific syllable count per line.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you ever do like a TED talk, let me know because I'm joining it.
Yeah, that's really
interesting. I will be up on stage eventually talking about poetry and cow's heart. Just watch.
Excellent. I will go see that double feature in a second, let me tell you. All right, cool. Excellent. Thanks, Jenny. And I was telling Ainsley before how amazed I always am of the worldwide, camaraderie that we have here. So Jenny is from the UK, and our next poet that I just put up is from India, Jesna Sajan. And Ainsley, if you could give that one a read, it's called Dream.
Yes. Here I am at my wit's end. Can I dream again? That life I made for myself, am I drowning into it again?
With a circle of whispers, I am lost. In time and space, I am lost. In this race, I am lost. In the embrace of loneliness and silence. Can I dream again? That life I made for myself. This choice I made to embrace this circle of life. Dream again. I must rebuild that hope, new people to meet, to replace the old I lost in time and space. That lost embrace. Can I dream? Make it again. Can I dream again? Make it again. Can love replace the love I am seeking again? Can I dream? Dream again. Can I make that love seem familiar, seem mine? Will you join me again? Give me that love again? Make me love you again? Can you be that love again, the love I seek again? Can I change that love for you? Can I dream with you again? Can I dream, dream, dream again? Will you share that dream again with me? Dream together. Let us circle the stars, envelope that void. Let us circle the stars, envelope that void. Circle around that empty space. Can I dream, deeply dream again with you again?
Excellent job. I got to tell you, you have some great comments and great reading. You were made for this type of shows. And I wanted you to read this one, and I like this because one of the things I noticed, Ainsley, that I was amazed at is how much people really took to your music. Like, a lot of times I'll do this, and it'll be for an artist, and it'll kind of be almost obscure. Like, the music, they'll think of, they'll remind them of something, you know, almost completely different than the music, which is always great. But people seem to really relate to it. It's just, they're writing so much towards your music. And I think Jessna tends to write a little musical. And I think she really wrote, you know, she basically took your song and I think like made a different version of it. You can tell this is, you know, with the, can I dream again, you know, make it again. Can I dream again? She's making that like a chorus. And I think she took your song and just made her own version of it, which I think is really, really amazing. I really liked with the circle of whispers, I am lost in time and space. I am lost in this race. I am lost in the embrace, the loneliness of silence, and then can I dream, dream again? To me, that was almost just being lost in life itself, right? Time and space, lost in this race of life, right? And then it lost in the embrace. So she's just, you're lost in this world, lost in this life that we have, which I think all of us either feel like or have felt like at least once in our life, right? I'm lost in the embrace of the loneliness and the silence. Can I dream again? I mean, you know, sometimes you can feel like that almost every day. And then that life I made for myself, this choice I made to embrace the circle of life, to dream again, you know, the circle of dreaming again. And she does that in this poem where she's kind of back and forth, you know, this happened, can I dream again? Then this happened, can I dream again? Then this happened, which kind of is life, right? You know, we get kicked down, we get up, we try again, and then we get kicked down, we try again. And when we stop trying, that's when it's over, right? So I thought Jasmine did a great job with that. It was a great tribute to the song. Very cool. Pam, let's go to you.
Yeah, I really like the lyrical quality of this, how, you know, it's a free verse poem, so, you know, without rhyme, it's oftentimes difficult to, I guess it does have a little rhyme, but not super noticeable, but it's more the use of the repetition, I think, that gives this poem its lyrical quality, I really like how this is filled with questions, like, can I dream with you again? Will you join me again? It's looking for that sense of connection with other people, specifically one person. And I really like how this is the idea of someone who seems to have been disappointed by people, disappointed by love, and still has that sense of hope in their life, inside themselves, that they believe that it's possible to for that dream of love to come true again. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. Absolutely. And I want to, I forgot to welcome Kind Poet, Co-Poet to the board. Excuse me, Kind Poet. So Kind Poet is there saying he's going through a poetry withdrawal, so we're here to cure him tonight. He said, wonderful work with repetition, consonants, and alliteration. I sometimes wonder if I'm drowning in the life that I made for myself, and then I wonder if I just think too much. I do that like 100 times a day, Kind Poet, so I totally get you on that one. And Ainsley, you did a great job reading it. What'd you think?
Thank you. I agreed with Sam. I loved the way that it seemed just so lyrical and so musical. And it did, I felt like, you know, when I was reading it, and the song really was, it was written about, you know, losing, you know, a great love in my life. But, you know, it's bigger than that. You know, if you might write it about one thing and it becomes a lot of other things. I felt like she really wanted to believe in the dream of love again in this poem, you know, and it was something I could really understand. And then I think it was where she says, that life I made for myself, am I drowning into it again? With a circle of whispers, I am lost. In time and space, I am lost. In this race, I am lost. In this embrace. And I was thinking, you know, I think to me, it sounded very, it was very reminiscent of why I wrote the song to begin with. I think just trying to believe in that dream of love sometimes, you know, when it's gone wrong, or maybe you have signs that it is wrong. We do oftentimes really need to construct a dream, even if we know it's got some bad elements in it. So I did. I felt it. I felt what she said, and I thought that, like Pam had said, I thought the way that she made it so, you know, it was like singable almost. So I felt like it's extremely lyrically written. I thought it was fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. I think she, you were saying it captured the essence of your song, and that's always great, you know. So I think she really did. She it sounds like she related to it, and really it struck her, and then she was able to relate it to her life, which is very, very cool. All right. We're going to move on with life. Can I dream again? Yes, I can dream again of another poem. I'm going to do that right now. That was a bad joke. I'm sorry. But I said it anyway. Deal with it, people who are listening. No one's laughing, so I'm really bombing here. I just completely lost my place here. Let me grab the last poem. Oh, Kind
Poet,
I'm sorry.
Well, just so you know, I laughed, but I was on mute. So
yeah, okay,
I found the bad joke there wonderfully entertaining.
That's okay, no problem. I'm used to silence when I make jokes. A Kind Poet, by the way, I apologize, Kind Poet. She said, I'm female, and thanks for reading the comment. I apologize. I did not mean to call you a he, so she. We welcome her to the Kind Poet to the board. Thank you, Kind Poet, for correcting me. All right, I'm going to put up Ruby's poem, and I'm going to read it here. Give me one second. I am technically challenged. Here we go. So this is by Ruby 2446, and Ruby is from Ireland, I believe. Never Dream Again, this is called. Oh, and by the way, this won the silver in our contest, so thank you, Ruby. Ruby. An edge, a precipice, the water swirls below. Endo mundo it isn't, yet it could be in the oblivion. I seek in grief every cord that joined us, unwound, every stitch that bound unpicked. You were my dream fulfilled, my cotton candy cloud. The diamonds in your eyes dazzled my vision. Your love killed the banality of my life, injecting zest for love and living. Pumping my spirit with Joe DeVille. You were so perfect. Sometimes I feared an illusion. A figment of my imagination. To touch you, I trembled and melted when I found your heart pulsing beneath my hand. A little quicker at my touch, you laughed. No matter how often you told me you were real, we were real. Nothing could stop us being us. I feared that then my dream dissolved. You couldn't stay. Its vapor hangs on high, the black, ominous cloud of pain. This place is no longer home, your last breath, my heart, its soul. the dream, the fantasy, the love, the reality, now the nightmare, the pain, the threatening rain, the void, the vacuum where you lived. How could I ever dream again? I dreamt you into my heart, you stole it, and I buried it with you under that black cloud that sits as I teeter at the end. Too scared, too scarred and scared, too scared and scarred, excuse me, to ever think of dreaming again. I watched the water still swirling, standing, clinging to the edge. End poem. Amazing, Ruby. Can we start with you, Ainsley? Love to hear your thoughts on this silver medal.
So I'm humbled to be here with Pam. I wanted to say when I read this, and I've read this a few times now, I don't know, maybe 10, I was super moved, and I had to look up different terminology on poetry because I have not studied it in such a long time. I mean, I write lyrics, but I am not a poet, and some of the things that she said in this, I was imagining things I hadn't even remembered since I was like a child. The way that the words were put, it just was so touching. So I would have to say, first off, I don't really have much to say about this except it kind of leveled me when I read it. And I think that she is explaining kind of, you know, the dream of love and having love lost, you know, throughout this. And it pulled me all the way through the journey by my heartstrings. There were some lines in this I just wanted to recognize. To touch you, I trembled and melted when I found your heart being beneath my hand. I seek in grief, unwound every stitch that bound. There were so many lines in this where it was like I could hear music, and I was inspired to start really working on my lyrics more. This is so well written. So seriously, props to Ruby. I was amazed by this, and that's probably all I have to say about it.
See, how amazing is that? So we put your stuff on here. You inspired her to write this, and then her writing this inspired you to then go write. That is that's a beautiful thing right there. Let me tell you, that makes me very happy. Pam, what do you think?
You know what? I have to agree. This is definitely a well-deserved silver. This had to be a contest where it was really difficult to pick the top three. The top eight. I am certainly not envious, but I'm not, because to have these kind of quality of rights in the contest is a wonderful thing. But, you know, it's not easy when you've got the top five are just amazing. I love the imagery and metaphors in this, and I don't know all that many technical terms when it comes to poetry, but and I don't even know if there is a technical term to it, but I always enjoy and appreciate when people in poetry stagger their lines so that it allows for a sense of movement when you're reading, because you then feel like you're moving through the person's experience. The imagery and metaphors in this is brilliant. I really like, you were my dream, fulfilled my cotton candy cloud. The diamonds in your eyes dazzled my vision. Your love killed the banality of my life, injecting zest for love and living. And then the fact that it just all disappears. And so here's a love that was more about the excitement in the moment, and then when it was lost, then when it was slipped away, it leaves you feeling lost. And I really like the void, the vacuum where you lived. How could I ever dream again? I dreamt you into my heart. You stole it. I buried it with you under that black cloud that sits as I teeter, too scarred and scared. You know, just absolutely amazing emotive lines that really, really pulls at the heartstring. Very well done.
Absolutely, Pam. Absolutely, I agree. And Kind Poet, who, since we're talking about locations, she's in the United States. joining us tonight. She said, rich, vivid language that creates images of devotion and heartbreak. Yeah, I definitely got devotion out of that as well, too. And she liked the fragmented structure as well. So very cool. Awesome job, Ruby. Thanks for being inspired and then inspiring the artist herself. That's pretty cool. All right. Life moves on here. And we're going to go to the always inspiring Stephen Wellman. And I believe it's your turn, Pam. If you want to read Stephen's, that would be fantastic. This is The Grass is Blue.
All right. The Grass is Blue by Stephen T. Wellman. The grass is blue, the sky is green. A mixed-up world full of mixed-up marbles, glass menageries, chipped and cracked, rare but rarely real, broken glass, glittering melancholic mosaics. We reach for stars hidden in ourselves. Everyone, everybody, out of touch, out of reach. Nothing is ever as it seems. We drown in a mirage of broken dreams. We return to shore, come back for more. Savage waves wash over us. Salt stings our wounds. We lick them, we prick them to see if we can still feel. End poem.
Excellent, Pam, excellent. And, yeah, we were talking earlier about the contest, and Ainsley herself actually helped to judge the contest, which, you know, we've had multiple guest stars on here before, and they've always helped to judge the contest, which, again, I think is an amazing thing to have the artists, you know, see how they relate to things. So thanks again, Ainsley, for getting so involved in all this. And Stephen always has a really cool way of writing, and I – As always, having a scientific mind, I think about this scientific, and I like that the grass is blue, the sky is green. And I just take it kind of as reflections, excuse me, on just how everything is in the world. You know, and he's talking about the broken glass, so just how things aren't how they always seem. And that is really, you know, how it is. I thought before about science and just how much of what we look at is not 100% truth. You know, when we listen to things, it happens before we actually are hearing it. When we every single solitary thing that you see, everything happened, even if it was a split multi-millionth of a second before you see it, because of the speed of light, right? Technically, when you touch things, you're not actually touching them, because if the atoms in your finger was touching the atoms in the thing you're touching, you have explosions, you know, so it's, you're not physically, if you go down to you're not actually touching things, you know. It's just most of the stuff we see is delusion, is a little bit of an illusion. And then he says we drown in the mirage of our broken dreams. So he talks about the dreams almost. This is at least what I'm getting it out of Stephen, if you're listening. And then I like how he's just, you know, talking about the waves, we return to shore, come back for more. Savage waves watch us over. Salt stings our wounds. We lick them, prick them to see if we can still feel again. So he's talking about just healing from life, you know, as we're trying to go through this kind of illusionary world. So awesome, Stephen. Fantastic job, Ainsley. What do you think of The Grass is Blue?
I was just sitting here nodding to everything that you said. And it was interesting hearing what you said, because I hadn't really thought about it that way. I feel like, so, and I wrote down when I like to do this, because I feel like as a writer, if something resonates with me and I write down where they really made me feel it, which is what I can do, I may not be able to explain exactly what it means, but I can tell you it made me feel, you know. And to me, that's great writing, you know. And it definitely did. At the end, I think like generally in the poem, what's getting said is that regardless of how much pain we go through because of our dreams, we can't live without them. You know, we're going to keep going with these same dreams, whether or not they're illusions to us. We're human beings that are compelled by dreams. You know, you really can't live without having something that you're hoping for. So I felt like at the end, actually, I felt like I was like
my heart was kind of getting ripped out of my chest because it's so true. It's very like, I wouldn't even say it's not caustic, but we lick them, we prick them to see if we can still feel. It's, you know, it kind of sears into you and you can feel what he's saying because it's like we drown in a mirage of broken dreams. We return to shore and we come back for more. Savage waves wash over us. Salt stings our wounds. And he's not necessarily, I think at the beginning he's saying we come back no matter what. But it doesn't necessarily say, it's more like we're seeing how numb we've become this time, which I actually kind of liked the way that this ended because that is sort of what we do. You know, every time that you go for something and it doesn't work, each time that you do it, you feel less compelled to do it. And you still might, but you don't feel the same way. You know, our feelings change even if we're going for the thing that we think we want, and it may not actually be what we want. So I just felt like the very end of that poem really did paint how we handle going for our dreams, just as a general, not as a general principle, if that really lessens the severity of the word, but it really made me feel about some dreams that I have and how much they've hurt and how many times I've tried, that's kind of exactly where I leave it, is the very end of his poem. It's like he hit the nail on the head and he didn't answer it completely, you know? That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that was great. That was great. Yeah, Stephen has a really interesting way of thinking about things, and I always enjoy it. He writes for a lot of our stuff. Cool, and Kind Poet said, great work, use of sense of touch to create vivid imagery. And, yeah, he did use that sense of touch. That's what I was kind of – I got that as well, too. And Stephen is from Indiana in the United States, since I wanted to introduce where everybody's from tonight. So, Pam, you got to read Stephen's. I know you like Stephen Wellman, so what did you think?
I do. I always enjoy and appreciate his poetry. He's got – a style that's deceptively simple. Like, his language is often straightforward in choice, but it's very layered, I think, in thought. And the idea of the chipped and cracked marble and the broken glass, and you can imagine light shining off of these broken pieces of glass when he says, broken glass, glittering melancholic mosaics. So, you know, there's these broken pieces, but they can be made into something beautiful. And then we drown in a mirage of broken dreams. And I like the observations that you both made. And, you know, it's an amazing write, and the whole idea of how we become so caught up in the idea of what our dreams are supposed to be, that we don't take into consideration the idea that perhaps they're supposed to go in a different direction. And not having the dreams come the way that we thought they were going to can often make us fall apart emotionally. And I like how that ending speaks on the idea of picking up those broken pieces, putting ourselves back together, and realizing that we still have that potential to feel all those things we felt before we became broken. So amazing write and very well done.
That is very true, Pam. That is very true that, you know, dreams are interesting because they give us hope, but then when they shatter, they can hurt us, right, when we lose them. So it's interesting. Excellent. Cool. Let's keep going. So the next one I posted here was by Dr. Human for Humanity, and that's a brevity. If you want to read that, Ainsley, I think it's your turn.
Sure. So dreams, or we must survive with dreams, is the prompt. Sometimes I feel I am a voice without a form. I want to dream always, even when I am gone. This universe of lives, I want to survive with dreams. I want to love everything and want to savor cream. When the stars talk themselves in the black sky, my dreams soar like lightning very high. I want to travel to those constellations as I am full of love, feelings, and emotions. Sometimes I want to meet my neighbors, the aliens, with too much intelligence and vigor. I want to be friends with them, not enemies. We want to love each other with universal unity.
Excellent, excellent job. And I believe Dr. for Humanity is from India, but I'm not 100% sure. It's not posted on her site. But nice little brevity. Pam, you want to start us off?
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful read there, Ainsley. And I have to agree, this is a nice little brevity. I really like that opening line. Sometimes I feel I am a voice without a form. I like how that speaks on the idea of I feel like I have so much to share of myself, so much to offer up, and you know, people aren't understanding. I thought this was a beautiful and thoughtful light on wanting to have a connection with all of nature, all of the universe, and, you know, all of life, wanting to know, you know, who your neighbors are. And I do like the creativity of sometimes I want to meet my neighbors, the aliens, with too much intelligence and vigor. And I like how that could simply be, you know, like it could actually mean like UFO, you know, out in another galaxy type aliens. Or it could just simply mean, you know, somebody from different countries, you know, and it kind of like the whole idea of taking the parable of the good Samaritan and the question to Jesus, you know, who is my neighbor? And having it expanded into the realm, the question, is there other life out there beyond Earth? You know, and I think that's a wonderful write, very thought-provoking and well done.
Yeah, I didn't think about it like that, but and even thinking, you know, on the preachings of Jesus about the neighbor, I didn't see that, but I see that now, and that's really interesting.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. And not many people bring up Jesus and aliens in the same sentence, but, you know, that's why I'm here.
Exactly. Oh no, now am I gonna watch what's that show on the History Channel? My wife and I watch it all the time, and it's Ancient Aliens. And it's, if you've ever seen that show, it's a great show, and it's got all this great history in it. My wife and son laugh at it because it really has like amazing history. And then right in the middle of the show, they go, "Ancient astronaut theorists say," and it's been every single thing that's ever happened. Everything that's ever happened in the history of humanity basically is based on these guys say that ancient aliens did it. Like everything that's ever happened, it's pretty funny.
Yes.
I have to see if they say that Jesus was an alien too. Somebody must have that theory right somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure somebody's got it.
I'm gonna start it if not.
There you go.
But anyway. All right, cool. Ainsley, what do you think about the poem, about Jesus as an alien, anything you want to talk about? We're good.
I had thought, I think it's pretty similarly to what Pam just said. It seemed like she was talking about, and maybe a little bit, maybe not completely the same take on it. I felt like at the beginning she's talking about being a dreamer, and at the end she's talking about, like, but needing, and I think the way that I saw it was actually needing. So she uses, you know, her neighbor or the aliens or, but you know, needing her neighbor's love and connection. And so what I really was thinking about was the same kind of thing I said at the beginning of all of this, where we all have our own dreams independently. Right? But when they aren't seen or acknowledged by our neighbors, do we? We really have this need as human beings for other people to know what our dreams are and to support us and validate us. So I thought it was interesting because she started out talking about, you know, going through, making sure I'm looking at the right one, yeah. She's being a voice without form and dreaming and And then she by the end, she's talking about the need for the love of other people. And I think it's just one of those things, when I read it, we're all so linked, and we need each other so much, and we need each other's validation so much. When we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that we don't, I feel like we end up needing a whole lot of help, because life is a lot simpler. And I felt like this was a really good, it was a really good example, because it doesn't seem like she's necessarily saying that. She's following what her heart is telling her in this poem. But by the end, she's talking about the need for love, for knowing her neighbor. And at the beginning, she's talking about her dreams that drive her. And so what I took from it was, we have these things that compel us as human beings on our own, individually. But ultimately, we have this need for connection with other people, regardless of what that dream is. It does actually tie in to, again, loving other people. So maybe that goes back to Jesus. love really is kind of what makes our world go around, and we need that validation in our dreams, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, and with the whole thing with neighbors, I mean, with all seriousness, whether you're Catholic or not, we in the way the world is now, we really need the teachings of Jesus. I mean, whatever you believe in, if you read the teachings, it's teaching about peace and love thy neighbor and be nice to everybody and compassion, and that's what Jesus preached, and that's what we need, and more of that. I want to meet neighbors, aliens with too much intelligence and vigor. I want to be friends with them. We need more of that in this day and age. And so I think, Dr. Human for Humanity, I think that came across excellent. So cool. Thank you, Ainsley. And we're going to continue on with life here. So I posted, this was under the next prompt, but I believe it's for Still Dream Again. And then we'll have two to read for the next prompt. So I'll read the one by MKR. And this one is called Dream Again. These dreams are waves of ocean. Some dreams, not dreams for all. I dreamt to touch the shining star, though I'm hardly 6 feet tall. These dreams nobody can buy. Some dreams nobody can sell. These dreams for which we kept alive, some drag us to the hell. The greatest dream of all, the dream, a dream of life. The dream of day and night, the dream of wrong and right. Some dreams that chilled our bones, some buried in our own. Some dreams that set us free. The dreams of misery, end poem. Ainsley, can we start with you? Did you have? Did you get to read this one beforehand?
Yes, I did, and I felt like, he's kind of talking about that. It's the dichotomy, right? Of these dreams that we have, they keep us alive, but they can kill us, and they do. Sometimes, for as much as they keep us alive, they absolutely can kill us. So I don't know. I felt like it was an interesting way and a beautiful way. And I'm going to look for these dreams for which kept us alive. Or let me make sure that's exactly right. These dreams. Where is that? These dreams for which we kept alive, some drag us to hell, so. A lot of times we don't let go of things when it's time to let go of things. And so I just felt like he did a really good job. Some dreams that chilled our bones, some buried in our own, some dreams that set us free, the dreams of misery. I mean, I think it's really just that sometimes what we think is good can become bad. I think maybe anything in excess, but it just seemed like a really good, can't really think of the word, but I guess I'll say poem, or Pam's been saying write, which is a cool way to say it, but I don't want to take her word, on how dreams really can be a two-edged sword, pretty much like anything else. Just, I think you have to be careful about what you believe in. Sometimes it might not be what you think it is, and it might be time to let it go. But that's pretty much what I got from this, and
I thought it was really well written.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, you were nodding your head earlier, and I was nodding my head to everything you were saying. So you're stealing all my words, but I agree with you on that. And MKR is from Pakistan, since I'm naming all the top locations. And thanks, MKR, for writing to us. I just like that third stanza, the greatest dream of all, the dream of life. And I think that's what he's touching on is, you know, all these other dreams, all these things that we can go for, you know, crazy goals and money and riches. The real dream is the dream to just live, in that peace and just be happy with what you have. And I think he captured that beautifully in this. So awesome job, MKR. And I believe Pam left us and then came back, which we were so happy she came back. Did you get to... I don't know if you got to hear the poem or if you got to read it, Pam.
I got to read it. I had read it earlier. Wonderful rhyming poem. Really thoughtful and philosophical in its approach on the importance of dreams, but also a reminder that some dreams can be a heavy weight that pulls us down. It actually kind of makes me think along the theme of a contest that Fazy ran for Partner Part Saint, which was a quote that had to do with how a seed needs both light and darkness, uses both light and darkness to grow. And
yep.
I feel like that's what this is saying. It's like saying sometimes your dreams come true and that's the light that helps you grow. And sometimes your dreams don't come true. And that's also a way to help you grow, because sometimes by not having them come true, it pushes us in the direction that we're really meant to go into. So very thoughtful, right, and well done.
Excellent, Pam, as always. Okay, cool. I am going to post the next one here. And we are on our last prompt for Ainsley's contest. And the contest, the last prompt, Ainsley, if you can tell us about it, it's from your song Relive, and it says, "Before our eyes," I should let the artist herself read the prompt. I'll let you comment on it. "Before our eyes knew the pain of death's sting. Before our hearts knew not to dream. Now just a shadow that fades in the night." There was poetry written, Ainsley. It was that line right there. That's a beautiful, haunting, but beautifully well-written line. Do you want to say anything about Relive or about the line that you wrote?
I think I will, because this song is so meaningful to me. But when I was a little girl, my best friend was killed in a car accident, and I was 8. And that song came from a poem that I wrote and put in her coffin after it had happened. And, you know, it's not the same exact poem, but there are parts of it. And that line is part of it, because it kind of was, it was the end of my childhood and the beginning of a whole bunch of things that, everything changed. Everything changes when something like that happens and you're young. But a lot of times, like before you're really woken up in life, to how sad things can be. It's kind of like a song about looking back, which is what was interesting too about this next poem that we're going to talk about, which was super moving. It was super moving to me, and it's really cool too. I will say this: it's really cool this podcast that you have and these poems, to be an artist where all these things in my life really did affect me. And then you go in and you see these people writing these poems, like this next one, where you're like, I don't really know how or why things happen the way that they do, but this next work is really beautiful. To me, I was just like, yeah, this is something I don't want to forget that I did this. I want to write it down. I want to have it somewhere in my house. Like, that song to me is probably the most meaningful song I've ever written in my life for me, just because it means so much personally. And it's just the end, you know, sometimes things are the end of, you know, how you've known them. And then everything changes. It doesn't mean that it's going to be worse, but it's going to be different. So, yeah, but I'm excited about somebody reading this next poem, because it's really compelling. It's really beautiful.
No, that's great, and I'm so sorry you had to go through that, but amazing that you wrote that for your friend and that those words are with her. and that's that was a great thing to do, and to you know keep her alive through that, through those words. And yes, you had told me that this one really reached you, and that you were gonna. So the Ilfei, if you're listening, I'm not sure where the Ilfei is from, but if you're listening, Ainsley's gonna post these words in her house. So when you see her going down the red carpet to get her Grammy, you can say, hey, she has my poem in her house. There you go. And I know that this really meant a lot to you. So I'd like to hear you read it if you want to read it. I was saving this one for you because I know it meant a lot to you. Would you like to read it?
It probably means that I'm going to butcher it because I'm so like emotionally hung up on this poem. I can try.
Oh.
I don't.
It's up to you. If you want me to read it, I will. Or if you want to read it, I'll give you artist choice.
Okay. Well, I'll attempt reading it. I don't want to mess it up, but
sure.
Okay. Plywood Pegasus, through alley and rubble, and through my burrowed roads, and my great up-ramping summits, my wheels bear pain and tear to get me through. Through the starry bluish sunrise, from out my home, through palm trees all shaping the same, through many ill fates where my kneecap was the savior, and through a large avenue to get to school and back home. Our eyes, which are fixed in my eye sockets, write poetry on the trees and boulders and pavements, and sometimes the road over which we'll ride over. The butane at dimmed daylights emanate hisses from the great unknown. Our gaze toward proximities affront speak our flashing will. We will be a memorable thing in the world. It's our promise. My tomb shall bear my mess, my most aged plywood Pegasus, without any more owners, resting in my hand with a dead friend. The cyclones have blown until the future, and here I am, a victim of an expiry date.
Excellent read. Look at you, made it all the way through. You did a beautiful job. Thank you for reading that. Pam, do you want to start with you?
Yes, absolutely. I did think that was a wonderful read there, Ainsley. You certainly could hear the emotion in your voice, and that's a beautiful thing. Love the phrase in the title, Plywood Pegasus. It's like the Trojan horse. To me, it makes me think of the whole concept of the Trojan horse of dreams. I thought this was a nicely written vignette. At least it kind of seems like it's a vignette with having the separation of the parts by the triangle symbol. And it's interesting that they chose to separate their stanzas with the triangle. You know, it makes me wonder if there's like a deeper meaning in that with the whole idea of the concept of the number three. I really like how this has powerful imagery and metaphors. It's emotional lines. You know, even if you didn't know the song that it was written to, you would still see the emotion within the write. And it speaks on the aches and pains of the body and of the spirit as we journey towards death. And it's a difficult journey to face, but it's especially difficult for those who survive. When you lose somebody, you know, no matter what you believe, when you lose somebody, you know that they're just, you know, they're not around anymore. It's not their problem, you know. That's a horrible way to word it. I'm trying to think of a better way to word it. But basically, the real grief is for those who are still here on Earth grieving. The real pain is the pain of missing somebody. Mm. And I really like this all the way through. And I also like we will. But I especially like, we will be a memorable thing in the world. It's our promise. My tomb shall bear my mess, my most aged plywood Pegasus, without any more owners. So the dreams that were mine, I leave behind and because they're an extension of myself that I won't be taking with me. So So wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, great. Great insight, Pam, on that. That was beautiful said. And yeah, you know, the Ilfei, I believe, is a younger poet, I think just under 20 years old, young, which, you know, this is such a deep and well-written poem, and I love to see young poets like this just come up. Ben Hart, who's a regular, is also a younger poet, and just the deep thinking and the maturity of the poetry to see young poets like this is very inspiring and very amazing to see. So great job to Ilfei. And Ainsley, I know this one touched you and you got to read it. What were your thoughts on it?
It did, and I thought that Pam had such a great way of describing what it meant to her. I didn't initially see that. I just felt it. And I knew at the end, of course, that we're talking about death, but I don't think I put it together in such a novel way as Pam did. I felt the beginning so much, and the way that physical pain was being described, I was just feeling like everything that's being said. My wheels bear pain and tear to get me through. And you know, the line, and I think this line is so fantastic because you're thinking, and this is what, so Pam is the one that kind of like, she just said it. I wouldn't have gotten to that point without her saying it that quickly, saying that this is about, you know, it's about, you know, death, and it's about, you know, kind of like going through, like at the beginning, I guess you're going through, you're sort of saying goodbye to, you know, your home and maybe the school that you went to and these other things. But the line is like, through my many ill fates were my kneecap was the savior. I've never thought about, like, you know, our joints saving us in different situations, but it just put a whole new spin. I thought that was just such an amazing way to describe somebody who's looking back at the past, you know, as like a part of my body actually saved me through this, you know, through this memory. And I was just like, that's just such a, I don't know, it's an amazing way to say it. It makes me want to be a poet. Once it gets to the end, I think the responsibility, the severity of the responsibility of what happens in our life, right, with carrying our dreams and what happens in our death, this in some ways, it sounds almost like a relief to me, because when we're alive, we don't think about always what happens when we actually die, but my tomb still bear my mess, as in like no one else is going to be carrying the weight of like what my life was, and without any more owners. And it's just how he said it. It's like, it's kind of, it's not so much that it's morbid, but it's a final way of talking about your life, not, you know, not affecting other people. And you can't blame anybody at the end of your life, you know, for what you've done. And I think when I read this, I was thinking about how I've been doing a lot of reading about, you know, growing and how we really need to not place blame on other people. A lot of times when we do that, it's because maybe there's something that we need to address in ourselves. But he just said it. He was like, without any more owners, my tomb still bear my mess. And I was just like, I don't know. I feel like the end of this, just, it's almost like listening to a sermon in some ways. I got pulled all the way through this emotionally, and I thought it was so well done, and it had some points in it that to me were pretty riveting. There's things that are going to stay with me for the rest of my life, just mine. So I thought it was really well written art.
That's amazing when, you know, any kind of art strikes you like that. You know, your music will do that to people, and you know, the poetry did it to you. That's great. And you are a poet, Ainsley. Have you read your own lyrics? You are a poet. You already are. You write great stuff. And now that you're on the show, you know, we have a lot of, anybody who's listening, we do have some open poetry shows. So, Ainsley, if you ever want to write any poems and post them here and get them on the open poetry show, we'll read them and discuss them. But you are a poet already. You know, read your own lyrics and you'll see. Your lyrics are pretty amazing. So look what they've spawned, you know.
Thanks.
You love that Plywood Pegasus, and it's your lyrics that, you know, inspired it, right? So, you know, there you go.
Absolutely.
So cool.
Absolutely. Hey, Dan,
excellent.
Before you move on, could I say something?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that, yes, I definitely agree with Dan that musicians, and especially lyricists, are already poets, in my opinion. So definitely, you have a gift. And I also wanted to say before we moved on that it was very nice to meet you, Ainsley. I'm so glad that the three of us got to spend this time together.
You too. It was wonderful to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad Ainsley's here, and Pam is always amazing. Pam, you're not leaving us though, right? You're not leaving the show.
No,
right?
Not
you
at all.
You're
I just
saying goodbye. Okay, good. I was getting nervous for a second.
Goodbye.
You're,
no,
you're
no,
like saying goodbye. All right.
You're stuck with me. You are stuck with me. I just wanted to make sure to get that in there.
Well,
yeah,
I realized I didn't even say hi to Pam at the beginning of the show, but I didn't want to interrupt. So, hi, Pam. It's good to meet you.
Hello. Nice to meet you. By the way, if you haven't figured it out, my name is Pam. So.
Yeah, but isn't Ainsley an amazing guest? I mean, her comments and just the way she reads the poems, it's like she's been doing this forever. You know, you really have a great insight on lyrics, which, you know, is why you're such a great artist. So, all right, cool. Let's keep on cranking on here. So the last one in Ainsley's, in the contest for about Ainsley's music is from Christopher Taco Tutko. He's from New York. He or she, Christopher, he, I guess. And if you want to read that one, Pam, that would be great. I posted it in the chat.
All right. Just give me a moment. I have to let the dog out of the bedroom. So.
Hey, no problem. You know, who's the real, right? Is that old thing of, you know, an alien sees us walking a dog down a street, right? Okay, so the dog is basically leading us, and we're walking behind them carrying their poop. Who's the real master here, right? So the animal,
yep,
you know, animals
right.
rule our lives, I got to tell you. What do? The animals
yep,
sit around
the
all day and just eat and sleep.
You let them out.
We feed them, we take care of them, and we do all the work. So who's in charge here? You know?
Yeah, makes you wonder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
this is
Dreams and Masters by Christopher Taka Tutko. Dreams and Masters, daydreams, the sun thou art, brought a mirror double doorways, shouting stops as she fades in and out of dreams, getting up now, paralysis and numbness, snap back death now. Ought to go home, see mom, cannot get off this trip, dark demons, more darkness, death, black, depression, snap back, sunlight, the rays.
Excellent, thanks,
Did
Pam.
You also want me to read
it
from bottom to top?
Is that how it's written?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to do it because, listen, I think it actually is. I thought it was one of those poems that was supposed to be read from top to bottom and bottom to top. The rays snap back sunlight, death, black, depression, trip, dark, demon, more darkness, cannot get off this, ought to go home, see mom, snap back, death now, getting up now, paralysis and numbness, dream, shouting stop as she fades in and out of, brought a mirror, double doorways. Daydreams, the sun thou art, dreams and masters. See, doesn't that work well both ways?
It really does. That's what you're like blowing my mind right now. It's one of those things that like I did not see, and as soon as you said it, I'm like, this has been right in front of my face. How did I not see that? You know, did you ever have that happen where you're staring at something and someone points it out? You're like, how did I not see
all
it right
the
there?
Time? Right, like if it had been a snake, it would have bit me. Yep, exactly.
But no, absolutely. That's amazing. I did not notice that, but it really does work both ways. And that's, I just got inspired, Christopher. I'm going to have to write a poem like this now. But yeah, it's beautiful, and the word choices are great. Ainsley, with this newfound knowledge of reading back and forth now, What do you think of the poem?
Wow. I never would have put that together, so that's amazing, Pam. I felt like in a lot of, I don't know, this felt like something that was written kind of, what do you call it? It's like free writing, sort of. I think the line that really pulled me in, I was reading it, and it's like, I go home to see mom, cannot get off this. So then I started to feel like, you know, it's either like a something that's sort of possessing this person, and it's really, you know, paralysis and numbness, snapback, death now, ought to go home, see mom. I'm not sure exactly what picture they're painting, but obviously it's really serious. You don't have moments of needing to see your mom when you're fading in and out of paralysis and numbness, unless it's something that's really, you know, it's like before our eyes knew the pain of death, seeing before our hearts knew not to dream. Now it's the shadow that fades with the night. It sounds like, you know, I mean, this could be anything. It could literally be drug addiction, you know, like you're stuck in something you can't get out, and you're having these flashbacks of who you should see or what you should have done. So I felt like it was really well done. And now, Pam, explain this just for a second. You're saying we can read it from which part?
Read it from the top and then read it backwards again, the whole thing.
Yeah, read it backwards.
Right from top. And I don't even know if that's true. I mean, you know, I made that part of my written comment, and Christopher hasn't responded. So for all I know, he's looking at my written comment. He's listening to the show right now and thinking, what the heck is wrong with that crazy woman? But when I read this poem earlier today, I couldn't help but notice that you could read it from top to bottom and bottom and to top and have it still make sense. You know what I mean? Like, you can do that pretty much with any poem. It's just that not with any poem is it always going to make sense. So.
Yeah, but this one really does make sense. I mean, even the first couple of lines back and forth, it's so if he didn't do it on purpose, it's a happy accident. Absolutely.
Yep, exactly.
Cool. All right, excellent. Well, that is the end of the contest by and Ainsley. So you're like almost like three and a half hours almost worth of poetry. We got the whole last show and all of the show off of your prompts. So amazing prompts that you gave us in the songs. You know, everybody who's listening who hasn't seen Ainsley go on YouTube, Spotify, on all the Facebook, on Instagram, on iTunes, look up her album Dream Again and all the songs on there. They're really, really amazing, and look for stuff in the future. And so I'm so glad that we got to do the contest. And what we have next, though, for the rest of the show is I have another contest that I did that we're going to try to get some in for, and this next contest is basically on paths that we take throughout our lives. The contest itself is based on a picture. So for those of you listening in, it's in the on the board for the show, and the picture is one taken by my wife. I believe it's up in very very northern Massachusetts. There's just a beach. I forget which beach is. I don't think it's Cranes Beach. I forget where it is. But she took this picture one day. She just went up and took a walk and came down. And I really like this picture of. It's just a little bit of snow on the ground, and it's really framed. It reminds me of like it's just almost like movie frames where she just did a beautiful job taking the picture. I thought where this almost looks like a painting, the way it's taken, but it's a real picture of just this path going completely straight through this kind of field with this old fence and just a little bit of snow on the ground. And I always thought it was a beautiful picture. In fact, it's in my book. I believe that picture that I put. And so it's really about, you know, I put every decision, every movement is a new path chosen, and we got some really great poetry out of this. So that is our next contest. And Ainsley, you are going to stay for the rest of the show, right? Hang out with us?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm so excited for that. So I want to make sure we get to our one person who gave us a, where is it here? One person who gave us a SoundCloud, who is Chinaski, and Chinaski, he's a great guy. He is from Germany. I've spoken to him a couple of times, and I've written for some of his contests and books that he's done and so forth. So I'm posting
Dan?
That now. Yep.
Dan, I do apologize,
yes.
But Chinaski's audio didn't make it into Speakeasy, so if you maybe want to grab another write, I can try to message Jean and see if she can put that in.
Okay, yeah, I did post it in Speakeasy. It was when I posted the dream again, so it should the link should be on there. Okay, yeah, no problem. Let's move on to something else, and we'll get back to Chinaski. So let's take a look here. While I'm finding the next one to read, I want to talk about some of Ainsley's work. So if any my personal opinions, I don't know, Ainsley, which songs you will. I'm grabbing the next poem. I don't know which songs you would recommend, but Dream Again, the soundtrack, Warrior, I just absolutely love. That was one of my favorite songs. And what I've been discovering is your song Goodbye. I think I've told you the last, like, 2 minutes of that song are just genius. Just the way you have the melodies that you're singing kind of intertwining, the counterpoint to each other, it's just so beautiful. So if anybody's looking up Ainsley's music, I would definitely recommend those three songs, along with the rest of the album, too. Do you have any other favorites that you'd recommend to people?
I do. I think Little Girl is a really powerful song. And
yeah, definitely.
I think it depends on what genre of music you're into, but I am ultimately a songwriter, so I really try to. I don't feel like I'm always just in one. More like listening to stuff that might be in a movie, you know, movie soundtrack music a little bit. But
you know what?
I do like that song.
When I first heard Warrior, all I could think about was that being in a movie. That to me is like should be in like a Marvel movie or something. It's you really do write stuff that should be that fits with movies and with film. I totally hear that in your music. All right, cool. So while we're waiting to see if we can get Chinaski's audio on there, I just posted one that I'll read by Stephanie Glass called The Path Unknown, and I'll give that a read. Excuse me. The Path Unknown. And Stephanie Glass, by the way, is she's from New Zealand. Thank you, Stephanie. And she's a writer and an artist, too. I was looking at her stuff. I just want to promote her. Everybody go out and look up Stephanie, look up her site on here. She writes children's books, and she's a published author. Everybody should check out her stuff. It's really interesting. So The Path Unknown. Sometimes I just don't know, but do we ever? Going over all the possible scenarios, does it really give us an answer? There's no way of knowing, of the outcome controlling, of our reactions anticipating, no matter how often we think of them. We may train tirelessly, role-play repeatedly, recreate situations relentlessly, but that is just illusionary. There is no study or theory that can come close to experiencing what it's like to be living when everything at once is happening. Useful it might be to dissect the moment that you anticipate, but remember the picture won't be complete until you become part of it. And that's when you'll know that nothing is exactly as you imagine, and that whatever comes your way shall also pass someday. End poem. And I really enjoyed this a lot, and I loved talking about the idea of experiencing things. You know, I don't know if anybody, you know, knows the great science fiction writer Isaac Asimov. He was always fascinating to me because he was very prolific, right? He wrote like 600 books, and he never left his apartment. He would talk about how he would go on vacation with his wife, and he'd sit in the hotel room the whole time. He'd never leave. He'd go on vacation, and he'd sit in the hotel room and write. He almost never experienced any of the stuff he wrote about. He'd rather read about it and learn that way, and I never understood that. Another great science fiction writer I like is this guy named Alan Dean Foster, and he did the opposite. This guy's been a world traveler all over the place, and he experiences all these things and then writes about it in there. And like I said, I could never understand the Asimov version of that. you know, he would write all these things, you know, he'd be, you know, in Italy or something, sitting in the hotel room writing about the Vatican, but not go see it. And I just never, I never could understand that. You know, to me, there's, what's the line from Good Will Hunting? The movie Good Will Hunting, I'm going to blow it, but he's something like, you know, you might be able to tell me everything about Michelangelo, but have you ever actually been in the Sistine Chapel and seen that and know what it smells like in there and be able to experience mm-hmm. it? You know, it's, they talked about that in that movie. And, you know, she talks about this here, and I agree with that, you know, and those paths that you take and those experiences that you have as you're going down the road, you know, nothing is exactly as you imagine. And what comes your way is also going to pass. So take that experience in, right, and enjoy it, and then that's, you know, just keep going down your path. But I really enjoyed this with Stephanie, and congratulations, great job on the silver medal. Yeah, and Ainsley, did you get to read this one before? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I did, and I felt like, you know, there's really no way. I'm just like reading some of the things that I had written down, but there's no study or theory that can come close to experiencing what it's like to be living. You know, she had some lines in this where it was like, we do get really caught up in learning facts. And I feel like sometimes we hang on to those facts like they're going to make sense out of our lives for us. And most of the time, we're constantly having to change what our plan is going to be. You know, if you're going to succeed in life, you're going to have to let go of failing, and you're going to have to get a different plan sometimes and let that be what's going to make you, you know, it's like, you have to be able to really improvise and let go of things. And a lot of times, I mean, that is kind of what living is. Like if we were to have this one template, you know, if we can't change it, more than likely we're not going to be resilient, you know, because it's going to have to change. Like things always have to change. And no matter how much we prepare in life, they're still going to change, you know? And I feel like she's saying that in this poem, you know, no matter how much preparation we have, the unprecedented and the unexpected is still going to come, and we're going to have to know it, it, you know, it's kind of like what Lao Tzu was like, you know, be like water, which is something that I think about all the time, because it's like when things come in and we're not ready for that information, or we're not ready for, you know, that accident or whatever happens, you know, we have to be able to roll with the punches and get a new plan. You know, what does success look like now? Yes, things failed or things didn't work, but what do we do next? Because that's really how we succeed in life. It's a lot of losing, but it's just like reframing what's winning next, you know? I felt like she captured that perfectly in this song. And I loved it.
Yeah, you know, that is 100% true. I always tell my kid and even people that work for me, you know, everything's just a problem. Unless you're just completely dying of some horrible disease and you're not going to make it, you know, it's just everything is just a problem and it all is a solution. You just got to think about it and look through it. And how many things, you and I were talking about this the other day, Ainsley, you know, how many things were you worried about years ago that you were so upset about that you can't even remember what you were upset about, you know? So, interesting. All right, cool. And Pam, I know you're trying to work on the audio, but did you get to hear or read the poem?
I did, yes. I thought this was a wonderful write and definitely well-deserving of the top three. I really liked how she put a lot of thought into the idea that of writing about learning as we go through life, and understanding that as much as we prepare, the unexpected will happen. It's kind of like, and I can't say it in the Gaelic dialect, but, you know, Rabbi Burns' poem, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And I thought this was just a clever write on that thought, and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And we'll just keep waiting to see if we can get Shenansky's sound call up. Shenansky, if you're listening and we don't, we'll save it for the next show. I don't think we're going to get through all the poems tonight. So we'll have some carryovers and we'll definitely get your sound cloud in. But now what I'd like to do is, and whose turn is it? Who read loud? It's getting late at night, so I'm getting tired. I just read, right? Okay. So that, it goes back to Pam, I believe, then. So I'm going to put up, I answered my own question there. I'm going to put up Robert Polensky, and Robert won the gold for this. And if you wouldn't mind reading it, Pam, it's called Walking Your Path.
I would be happy to. I'm sorry. Give me a moment.
Yeah, take it. Take your time. The dogs are calling, it sounds like.
Well, kind of. The roommate's going to bed, and we have two dogs here in the house, and the one always sleeps with him, and the other always sleeps with me. And we were kind of doing the thing where we get the one dog to come into my room and the other dog to go into his room, and, you know, so everybody was in their rightful spot. I know. It's horribly complicated, but
yeah, you know, I get it. My cat now, for some reason, sleeps. My wife doesn't get a pillow anymore. He's on her pillow 24 hours a day. So my wife has to like scoop down. It's like the cat like took over the whole bed. You know, it's just animals. Yeah, I get it. But anyway.
Yep. And this is Walking Your Path by Robert Polsky. Wintry road winding through the field, a white unridden trail, silent, a vanishing point. The road through nothingness, an empty dream in the mute snow. The road is lonely, a trail across the sea. There are no signs, no roadmap, no track to behold. Eyes don't see ahead, murk lingers around. Do not go where others go. Follow your dreams. Immerse feet in deep snow. Walk the blank road. Make your own path. Journey to its end. A path doesn't pop up on its own. Your footprints form it there. Leads through grassy fields and through the mountains. Tread on it. Don't look back. Be the creator of your path. And poem.
Excellent, Pam. Awesome, awesome. And yeah, I love this. I gave this the gold, and I thought it was just so beautifully done to the actual paint picture. You know, and I'm gonna misquote myself here, but I wrote a poem a little bit back, and I said something like, you know, paths were made to be followed, except for the one that made the path. Right. So, you know, when we have paths, we look, you know, if we look at this, the picture that the prompt is when you walk, what are you going to do? Most people are going to sit there and they're going to look at this and they're going to walk down the path. Right. But at one point that was not a path. It was just some place that no one had ever walked and somebody made that a path. And those are the innovators and those are the ones that aren't just following and just kind of walking. They're the ones that say, hey, you know, why do I have to go this way? What's over here? And they do something that's different. You know, it's that's one of the things I love about poetry is, you know, I certainly love, you know, novels and all that too. I read all the time. You know, I think there's, you know, for a novel, you want it to be that you're really getting your point across and you're immersing people in a story. But for poetry, I love, one of the things I love about it is, to me, it's almost like jazz or like fusion music, where there's rules, but the rules are just to kind of write what you feel, and you can kind of play with the words, you can play with the way they look. And it's more about just kind of, you know, experimenting and really, really feeling what you're doing. So that's what I like. And where he says, do not go where others go. Follow your dreams. Immerse feet in deep snow. Walk the blank road. Make your own path. You know, a path doesn't pop up on its own, right? Your footprints form it there. So talking about, you know, this wintry road that, you know, no one has ever walked around, the lonely trail. But your eyes aren't necessarily seeing ahead because murk lingers around. So go your own way, and you don't have to follow everybody else. So, I, you know, that that simple thing of, you know, don't be a follower, be a leader. He just wrote in such a great poetic way and just beautifully written and right to the prompt as well, too. So always a pleasure to read Robert, and he is from the great country of Canada. So great to have you writing for the show, Robert. Awesome, and congratulations on the gold. And Ainsley, your thoughts, what's happening over there in the mind of Ainsley McGray? Ainsley, are you mutating over there with the mute button?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was muted. I was talking, but I guess you didn't hear me.
That's okay.
I loved it, and I had to leave it, actually, and come back to it and read it later because I read so many poems, and it's like I feel like it's not fair. It's kind of like listening to a lot of songs, honestly, at once because you're flooded with so many different emotions, and this was, of course, it's about loss. About loss and in a way that I think every single one of us can read it and understand exactly what he's saying. And maybe even, you know, I think what I thought was that a lot of times, sometimes somebody comes into our life and they play with us, maybe with our emotions. And it's not necessarily that people do it on purpose. I don't think that's always how it works. And I think sometimes we allow it to happen or we even want it to happen. He captured it so well, and I would say so well. It's not that I feel that it's necessarily a super desperate, so, you know, there's so many different types of situations in a relationship where, this was done in such a cool way, just kind of. And I don't think I'm going to do it justice when I say this, but there were so many different ways that he was talking about how a lot of times it's not even someone that we want. You know, it's maybe just something that we wish was there. And I thought it was really well written, and I feel like I'm digressing. There were so many parts, at least at the beginning, and I was really overwhelmed when I read this, so I had to take a break, and then I came back later tonight, because there were a couple lines that really moved me at the beginning, and I'm looking for them, and I will find them.
Okay, they could speak.
I think it's going to take me a minute because I took like 3 pages of notes on this poem, and I'm not being very eloquent on.
That's okay. We can go to Pam and we can come back to you if you find.
Yeah, let's
find
let's
the
do that. Let's do that. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just
right, cool.
Really impressed with 3 pages of notes on one poem. that says a lot about the thought put into the poem. Very cool. And I like this. I really like this. And I like how it speaks on the importance of individuality and remembering that everyone else's dream doesn't have to be your own. It has amazing imagery and metaphors and an excellent write on having that individuality in the journey of life. And making sure that the path you forge is one of your own. And I do especially like the end stanza, but it's an amazing write all the way through and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. He wrote in his author's notes, "Traveler, there is no path. The path is made by walking." And quote by for Antonio Machado that he you know was inspired by. So cool. Ainsley, did you want to say anything else, or should we move on?
Well, I feel really badly because, and I do. I know it sounds funny, Pam. I take notes a lot of times just because it helps me kind of get my thoughts straight. And I felt like, so I will say this. When I read this, I knew it was important. I knew that it was beautifully done. And there were lines in it that really moved me. And I think if I pull them out right now, it's going to sound funny. So
I'm not going to do that. I'll just say that I did really love it. It made me feel, I think, exactly how he wanted me to feel. And I'll just leave it at that for tonight, because we're at 11:40 and we're probably getting... We've still got some more phones to go.
We do. We can have some carryovers, no worries at all. But yeah, we can keep going on. And I think it's your turn, Ainsley. So if you can read this one by Fran Marie called The Path of Love, of Life and Love, that would be fantastic.
Okay. The Path of Life and Love. It's not where you start, nor is it how you begin. The one thing you must inspire to are hopes and ambitions from within. To cherish each step ventured, seeking sunshine treasure around each curve and rocky bend, releasing free spirits of measure, seizing each blowing breathless wind. On this quest of life and love, it's not how far you go, nor the way you get there, be it fast or slow. It's a course we must maneuver each day with renewed loving care. It's a path not steady at times, a slippery slope indeed, nor an easy climb back to the top when your heart is left to bleed. It's not a lot of things, but this is one on our journey forever. But this is one on our journey forever holds true. The path of love and life must never, ever be abused.
Excellent. Excellent job, Ainsley. And, you know, this is something we need more than anything. The path of love in life must never, ever be abused. Again, I said it earlier today where, you know, the world really, really needs needs this kind of, you know, thinking and this positivity and about, you know, taking life seriously and each other. You know, I said it to you the other day, Ainsley. I'm like, I'm so glad you're getting back into music because the world needs music and it needs hope more than ever now, you know. And the path, you know, that is something that we really need to take and understand that, you know, it's, but with everything going on, I just saw more fires in the world. I know Cyprus was on. There was a huge fire there. There was one in parts of Italy, I forget where, and I just saw somewhere down in South America. There's now this huge fire that started. It's unbelievable. Mm. I never thought that I'd be wishing for arson, but I almost hope there's like a serial arsonist running around the world, because if that's not the case, that means the world is just catching on fire from the environment, and that's really scary. But it's just these. I've never seen this in my life before. You know, Canada is like constantly on fire. It's scary. You know, the one in Hawaii, I guess they found out that was an accident. It was some power lines went down, but just because I think the world is so, you know the environment and the heat that we have, I think it's just making the fires, you know, so. You know, love in life in the world, it's really never to be abused. It's never to be taken lightly. You know, life is an amazing thing that, you know, is all over the place in our, and love as well, too. You don't take those things lightly. You know, I'm just quoting the end of it here, but I think it's a very important message, especially, you know, in this day and age. So I really appreciate it. Fran Marie, and Fran, I don't think I mentioned, is from Kentucky, the great state of Kentucky. So thank you, Fran. Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I like this one. You know, anytime I read Fran's poetry, I always think she seems to be a person who has a good heart. And I like how in this she speaks on the importance of love, the importance of life, and the importance of kindness. And she reminds us that life is a difficult journey. You know, the path isn't meant to be always be an easy one to follow. And how important, though, it is to stay on that path of love and life. It's not a lot of things, but this is one on our journey forever holds true. The path of love and life must never, ever be abused. Wonderful ending lines and a very well done poem.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, and
absolutely.
I sent you a message, Dan, just so you know.
Yeah, I saw that. We'll do Chinaski's next.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you got to read it. You did an awesome job, Ainsley. What are your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful, and in the comments below, somebody wrote, it might have been you. Was it you? I thought it was so true. Could hang on the wall and use it as a reminder daily. That's exactly what I thought when I read this. It was your comment. You know, it's a path not steady at times, a slippery slope indeed. But I really liked, on this quest of life and love, it's not how far you go, nor the way you get there, be it fast or slow. It's a course we must maneuver each day with renewed loving care. That puts a lot of responsibility on, you know, this isn't just a feel-good poem. It is saying, you know, we have a responsibility to make sure that we're checking what we're doing with a certain amount of, you know, tenacity. You know, it really is one of those things where it just kind of puts you in check, like, how are you living your life and what are you doing? And are you making sure, you know, that you're doing all of this with the right mindset? And, you know, at the very end, bringing in abuse at the very last line, there's so many ways that we abuse ourselves, that we hurt our own lives. I mean, ultimately, I think when we look at our lives at the end, it's not what other people have done to us. It's pretty much what we've done to ourselves that's hurt us the most. So when she got to this last line, I was thinking more about that than I was about other people hurting people intentionally, because even if we carry shame, you know, that shame destroys us. You know, there are things that we have to let go. We can't let abuse us. We can't abuse others, of course, too. But I just thought it was, it's like words of wisdom, really. And she did it in a really cool and novel way. So I thought it was really great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And Chinaski, if you are listening, we got your SoundCloud ready, and I just posted it. So got it in at the last minute here. If you want to play that, Pam, that would be great to end on.
We didn't choose dusty voids that quietly lingers, watching our own bitter needs, born into this labyrinth of confusion. Innocence dies thrown into cages that we've made with borders raised, our gardens becoming that huge galaxy, light years of illuminating dust as ancient ruins. Withering embers behind elb and flute appear billowing flames, receiving warmth as dead stars trickle into universe, lifting thick dying moons. But we forgot the sun. Walking footprints upon sultry shores and cradle cribs, union with ocean, windswept hair, my anchor held steadfast into our truth. Baptized into dawn, our history awaiting birth, steeples shine hovering above. It was warm embers of what we've become, acrylic carved ringing dreams. Unforgiven seasons change, living through concrete jungles, alive with our native angels. Desolate souls singing in the wind, howling through the ages, forgotten voices of nature float as ornaments, chiming. And the road led to endless whispers upon blossom sails, wings ready for flight, paths narrowed to one. I tasted beautiful, animated fruit, borderless.
Thank you, Chinaski. Awesome. If I didn't mention before, Chinaski is from Germany. And he says, my past and decisions always have always had nature in mind, although the future has little to offer. If we become nature, we will always survive, unanchored, borderless. And I know Chinaski is very, very much into you know, us being one world, and you know, making sure we're in tune with nature, which I'm also of a huge mindset as well, too. So excellent job, Sasky. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud. We really appreciate it. And can we start with our special guest here, Ainsley? Ainsley, you might be mutating again.
I'm sorry. Like, I had to do something really quickly. You might want to start with someone else.
Sure. We can start
with Pam.
I'm not sure. No worries. Pam, did you want to comment?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Chinaski definitely offers up a thought-provoking poem. Powerful imagery and metaphors, a strong social commentary. And I like how this speaks on the idea of borders raised and, you know, the labyrinth of confusion and how there's really this sense of, at least to me, it speaks on the sense of disconnect when it comes to human nature. And how we really need to learn to reconnect. I also always have an appreciation for his reading voice, which is very much a beat poet kind of read. Like you can imagine him with the jazzy music and the smoke-filled room and the finger snapping with Allen Ginsberg and all of them hanging out, you know. And I like that, but I thought this had powerful imagery and metaphors, and to me was an excellent write on the hope we have for ourselves and humanity crushed by the injustice we observe. Because, you know, especially when we're younger, we want to believe the best in people, and we want to believe that 100% the best of ourselves. But as time passes, and we see not only in our daily lives, but when we look at the news and we see what's going on in the news with people and how they treat each other, and we observe these injustices, and we feel that rage boiling up inside of us, and we find ourselves feeling helpless, it does make us, at least, you know, to me, it does make me think on the whole idea of just having that kind of hope crushed. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Absolutely. And yeah, you know, the end there of the I Taste the Beautiful Animated Feud Borderless. And, you know, kind of now almost more than ever, we're just seeing these people in power and politicians and, you know, I don't care if you're on Trump or Biden's side or wherever you're on, you know, they're all fighting each other and we're just sitting in the middle and dealing with it, you know, and we're the ones that are struggling. And it's happening all over the world with Putin and with everything. And, you know, more than ever, we need these people in power to come together and actually help. You know, there's only so much that people like us can do, you know, just regular people. And it's, you know, it's sad that we're not here as one world. There was a really positive thing that happened the other day. I don't know if you guys saw the Soviets tried to send something to the moon and unfortunately it failed. I commend them for trying, but India actually landed on the, I think the south side of the moon, I think it was. And they're the fourth country now to land a probe on the moon. And they have a little ship there that's kind of walking around the moon for a little while. So I thought that was really positive. And that's something that always brings us together because they'll share the information and the whole world is kind of watching what they're doing and learning from it. So I really think that's a positive thing for the world to come together on. I thought that was great in this crazy world we're in. I know it's not what the poem's about, but, you know, talking about, you know, what Chinaski talks about here, that's what, you know, kind of thing that came to mind. Great job. I really like his work and the way his mind works. Ainsley, were you ready to make a comment?
I loved this, and I felt like it was very philosophical, and it was very true because, you know, we're nothing without the world working. And he is saying that without nature, none of our amazing aspiratory dreams or, you know, going for whatever type of manifest destiny that's made us make all of these civilizations and kill, you know, a lot of people in the name of glory nothing's possible if the earth is gone. And it's not, you know, and I feel like at the very end of the poem, he's saying, and the truth of the matter is we have to check ourselves, because once we get past a certain point, you know, and we know this with like war and everything else, we're going backwards. We're not, you know, we're not evolving. We're, you know, and we're always right on that line, because that quest for power in us, it you know, it pushes us into descent, and then we get to a certain point, or we could get to a certain point, where we don't even have, and we're seeing this happen now, you know, with everything warming up in the world, we may not have what actually keeps us alive anymore. So I felt like he was saying that we need to look to nature. And at the very end, the answer was the road led to endless whispers upon blossom sails, not like, you know, these people coming in to take over this new land, like blossom sails, wings ready for flight, paths narrowed to one. I tasted beautiful animated fruit, borderless. He's saying that the answer really isn't in what we're all seeking a lot of times, you know, for our own glory. It's in the silent beauty of what's actually keeping us alive, which is our planet. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Shanaski actually just joined the board, and just, I think he's listening in right now. I saw him post on another board, so I reached out to him and said, hey, we're just about to play your SoundCloud. So he's on the board right now, and he listened in, so he's listening now. So Shanaski, thanks so much, and I'm glad we got your SoundCloud in just at the last minute there. But, you know, Ainsley, that's a great, you know, great way to end the show, and a thought of, you know, it's, we all live on one world, right, just like you're saying. You know, we all need to do this together. I mean, we're not, you know, we're not living in countries anymore. We live on a planet, and everything's affecting it. I mean, every single thing that we do, you know, we throw away a piece of plastic, and there's, you know, microplastic on the top of Everest, which there is. You know, the fires in Canada, you know, where we breathe them in here. I mean, this is a whole world we live in, and we have to all, you know, work together. And I, you know, we all know this, but I hope and pray every day that the people in power start doing something about it. So, awesome show tonight, guys. I'm so glad that you joined again. Pam, you're the best thing ever. And, you know, Ainsley, thanks again for joining. Ainsley, we have just another minute left. Is there anything you want to tell people listening about your music, or anything you want to leave anyone with about the show, or anything you want to say?
Well, I think on the last note of the last poem, I think we should all make sure that we recycle and take care of the earth as much as we can, so we can continue to make art. You know, I think that it's starting to get to that point where we're all seeing stuff happen, and it's a little scary. So I did love that you ended with that poem. And Pam, it was so great to meet you. And Daniel, thank you so much for having me on and being so great.
Absolutely. It was 100% our pleasure. Amazing couple of shows that we had with you. And we hope to see you again when you put out your next album. Maybe we'll have to do another show based on that one. We'll have to have you back as our first third-time person. So we look forward to that. So keep writing music. Everybody go and look for Ainsley's great music on, like I said, she's on all social media. She's on iTunes. She's on Spotify. Look at her album, Dream Again. It's an amazing album. And thank you, everybody, for joining. Shanaski, I'm glad you joined at the end. Kind poet, thanks for joining on the board. Pam, Ainsley, I'll give you, don't tell me I never gave you anything in your life. I'm giving you 1 minute back. We're ending 1 minute early, so... Everybody have a fantastic week, and, you know, keep writing, keep taking care of the earth, keep happy, and peace and happiness to everyone. So good night, everyone.
Good night.